In my opinion, there is one movie which is responsible for informing more people about biblical history than any other film. And no, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Nope. Without a doubt, it is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yes, the film itself is goofy, but I can assure you that from a biblical perspective, it's pretty darn sound. For example, that scene where the bad guys open the ark and their faces are melted away, not in the Bible, but not out of character with stories that we do have about the ark. In the Old Testament, the book of Exodus tells us how God led the Hebrew people out of Egypt, where they had been slaves for 400 years. God led them through the wilderness and on their way to a promised land that they could call their own. While in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the commandments inscribed on those tablets of stone. This was God's law. Moses brought the tablets down to the people, and they constructed a box, the Ark of the Covenant, to house those tablets. They also constructed a tent to protect the box when they camped. And the tent was known as the tabernacle. The Hebrews carried this ark with them into the promised land, and they settled there. And then, as we find in the book of 1 Samuel, once they're in the promised land, the Israelites find themselves in conflict with the Philistines. And in one particular war, which took place at a place called Ebenezer, they were again facing the Philistine incursion. And the war wasn't going that well for the Israelites. They needed their secret weapon. So they sent for the ark to be brought to them from the shrine at Shiloh, where it was kept. And the plan was to carry the ark into battle with them, ensuring that God would be with them. And the presence of the ark inspired the Israelites, and it terrified the Philistines. But nevertheless, the Philistines still prevailed, and they defeated the Israelite army. They also did something else. They captured the ark, and they took it back home with them, and losing the ark caused unbelievable despair among the Israelite people. They had lost their God, or so they felt. However, it wasn't much better for the Philistines, because the Philistines discovered that wherever the ark was kept, it brought pestilence and death on their people. And the Philistine cities began playing hot potato with the ark, passing it from city to city as each one suffered its wrath. And then finally, after 7 months of this ongoing scourge, the Philistines decided that they would be better off without the ark. They needed to get rid of this thing. So they consulted, and they consulted their priest, and the priest came up with a plan, pretty good plan too. The priest built a cart, and they yoked two cows to this cart, and on the cart, they placed the ark, and they also placed a very large amount of gold as a guilt offering to whoever was causing this pestilence. And they untethered the cows then, and they let them walk away with the cart in tow. And the plan was that if the cows and the cart remained in the land of the Philistines, then the Israelite God was not responsible for their misfortune. If, on the other hand, the cows left the land of the Philistines, then good riddance. So, What happened? Well, they let go of the cows, and the cows made a beeline for Israel. They didn't turn right or left. They didn't waver a step. They went straight towards Israel. And when the cart crossed the border into Israel, the Israelite people who are out working in the fields rejoiced at the sight of their ark. And so they gathered it up and they took it to a place called Kiriath Jearim, and they placed it in the home of a man named Abinadab. And it remained there for the next 20 years. Now, this sermon series is about David. And about the same time that the ark is entrusted to the care of Abinadab, David was anointed by the prophet Samuel. Remember, he was a young boy at the time. And it takes him about 20 years to become king, the same length of time that Abinadab has the ark. And when David is finally crowned king of all Israel, his first order of business is to establish a capital. Israel didn't have a capital. And so he selects Jerusalem. Now, the problem is that Jerusalem does not belong to the Israelites. It's inhabited by another people known as the Jebusites. So David leads his army to Jerusalem, and they capture the city. And this was an extremely strategic move, because Jerusalem's on a hilltop, it's fortified, it was defensible, and it was along trade routes. Also, at the time, it was not part of any of the lands of the 12 tribes. It was neutral territory, kind of like Washington, D.C. So by choosing Jerusalem, David's not showing favoritism to any tribe. He establishes his home in the city, and Jerusalem becomes capital of his kingdom. But remember, Israel is also a nation that recognizes God prominently in their national life. And when David becomes king, the worship of God, it was a bit disorganized and scattered among various shrines across the country. And David knows that he would be more effective if he could consolidate all religious activity and establish Jerusalem as both the political and religious center of his people, to make it a real capital. So, as we see in our reading today, David gathers 30,000 of his elite soldiers, and they march in a grand procession to the home of Abinadab in Kiriath Jearim, which in our reading is called Baal Judah. David and his men retrieve the ark from Abinadab, and they place it on a cart, and they drive it back towards Jerusalem with Abinadab's sons leading the way. And it is here that we are offered this wonderful description of this magnificent event. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before Yahweh with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. Can you imagine the sight? This great parade of thousands upon thousands of the faithful led by their king, singing and dancing before the Lord. However, David's not able to bring the ark to Jerusalem that day. There is an incident, and the ark has to be left at the home of a man named Obed-Edom. But 3 months later, David does return to claim the ark and finally deliver it to Jerusalem. And there is again on that day great rejoicing, and David makes this event a holy feast and a festival. And at every leg of the journey, David sacrifices an animal. And along the way, he offers food to the observers. And David danced. Boy, did he dance. He twirled and gyrated and jumped. He shook his hips so wildly that even Elvis Presley would have blushed. And he danced wearing only a cloth ephod, Now, an ephod is an apron traditionally worn by the priest. And it doesn't appear here that David wore much more than that. I want you to imagine dancing the tango in a hospital gown. It was probably something like that. And David danced. And as he danced, he was accompanied by shouting and the sound of trumpets. And everyone joined in. And the ark was led into the city and placed into a tabernacle that David had constructed for it. It would take another generation, but it would be King Solomon, David's son, who would be the one to construct the great temple in Jerusalem to house the ark and to fully consolidate worship across the nation. But going back to David and the ark, imagine the scene, the king dancing in this wild frolic before the throne of God in sight of all his subjects. The Presbyterian writer Frederick Buechner describes the scene this way: how they cut loose together, David and God whirling before the ark in such a passion that they caught fire from each other and blazed up in a single flame of magnificence. Not everybody was pleased with what they saw. One of David's wives, Michal, daughter of Saul, was pretty disgusted by the display, and she told her husband that he was vulgar. I don't know if David was vulgar or not, but he certainly danced before the Lord with great enthusiasm. And that word enthusiasm, it comes to us from a Greek word which literally means in God or in theos. The Greek word describes someone who is inspired or even possessed by a divine spirit. David danced before the ark in theos, enthused, because he was inspired or maybe possessed by his love for the Lord. His enthusiasm explodes into a dance and movement and shouting and worship. Some people speak in tongues. David danced in tongues. And it didn't matter that he was half naked. This wasn't about him. It was about God and bringing God to the heart of God's people. And although it doesn't seem obvious, what David was doing that day is what we do here on a Sunday morning, worshiping the Lord. And imagine being so excited to be in God's presence that you throw your cares to the wind and dance like fire. Yes, in this church we pride ourselves on our orderly worship, and that is good. I don't want to change that. But we do lose something when we value our appearances over the Spirit. We do manage to get enthusiastic in our own ways. For example, when the choir offers a rousing anthem, or JD regales us with Mozart in July, or when we bag meals for the hungry, or provide shelter for the homeless. These are acts of worship. They are our own form of dirty dancing. So today, I want you to imagine this church as being rather like a dance. Our gathering for worship could be like a homecoming prom. Our teams just won the big game, and we gather in the gym to celebrate. The band plays, the people sing and dance and shout, and no one is a wallflower. All are welcomed. All participate. We are ecstatic, and we show it. But church isn't just about gathering for the big dance in the gym. It's also what we do in our smaller groups. And so that homecoming dance breaks up as groups begin to congregate in different corners of the gym to perform their own unique dances. Sunday school classes gather in a square dance. Mission groups form improvisational jazz dance troupes. And back in the kitchen, belly dancers prepare food to be given away. We all participate in our own dances in great enthusiasm, worshiping the Lord with our hearts and our minds and our bodies. David was chosen to be king because David kept God first in his heart. He was in theos. He wasn't afraid to be footloose before the Lord. He knew how to worship. He knew how to dance like a king. Amen.